This episode of Does Not Compute is brought to you by Hired. Hired is an awesome way to find your next engineering or design job. Users can get 5 or more job offers in just a week, and every offer has salary and equity up front. They have a bunch of great full-time and contract jobs from pre-screen companies in amazing cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Diego, Toronto, and Washington, D.C. It's 100% free, and you never have any obligations. Not only is it free, but Hired will actually pay you $2,000 if you get a job through them. That already sounds super cool, but let me tell you something else. If you go to hired.com/doesnotcompute, all one word, they will double that bonus. That's right, you get a new job and $4,000 just for using Hired. It's incredibly cool, and you should definitely check it out. So head to hired.com/doesnotcompute and give it a go. It's a great service and a fantastic way to find your new job.
Yeah, this week has been a difficult week for me, mainly because I am on the verge of finishing up 2 different projects, and these projects have been dragging out a little bit. And it's exactly like that old saying where the last 20% of the work is actually 80% of the work. So it just feels like they're never going to end. But it's just been a long week.
I haven't had a great one either. It's just been kind of those weeks where I'm feeling a little burnt out and everything seems 5 times more difficult than it actually is.
Right. You're just tired. Like, you're too tired to think about how to actually solve the problem efficiently.
And I think that happens. That happens to everybody. It's a tough problem to deal with, but it's a very common problem in this industry. People go to work and they are really dedicated to what they do and they give their all. And they do that for months or years on end. And sometimes it gets rough. Sometimes you have a little bit of a period where you just think, man, I just kind of want to sleep right now and not think yeah. about any of this.
I think what compounds it, too, is that you have coworkers that aren't feeling the same way at the same time. You know, so you look at them and they're being productive. And then you feel even worse because you feel like maybe you're letting part of the team down or you're not being as productive as other people. So yeah, it's kind of a tough spot to be in.
Sure. I mean, we all go in cycles. Like, some people will be feeling not great about the work while some people will be feeling fantastic. They'll be so stoked. They'll be making a lot of progress on something. Their projects are running well. And then you're just sitting there looking at them like, man, what am I doing wrong? I think it's really important to not blame yourself when this happens because we work in a really demanding industry. It's not demanding in the sense that we get to sit in front of a computer all day and just type little letters with our fingers, but it's tough. It's very mentally demanding. And sometimes you're going to have that week or that couple weeks where things just aren't great.
So it started out this week with me using the time boxing technique. So I'll set a timer and I'll focus for that period of time. And at the end of that timer, I will take a break. So the first 2 days this week, I was able to set hour-long timers or 2-hour-long timers, and I would actually be productive for 2 hours. And by Friday, I was setting 15-minute timers and struggling to really nail those 15-minute timers.
So what do you think changed between Monday and Friday?
I think it was just that these projects are really close to being done, and it just seems like there's always one extra little thing that needs to be taken care of or adjusted before they're actually signed off on. And so I think in your mind, you're like, all right, this is the last iteration. This is it. It's going to go out the door and it's going to be live. And then suddenly it's not. And it's kind of like little letdowns over and over again, or maybe just kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel never really getting to you. It's just tough.
I think that's a great way to put it, is that you see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it doesn't seem to be getting any closer. It's like it's still 2 miles out. And you can see it there. You know it exists, but no matter how much you keep running, you're not getting any closer. And that can be really, really depressing. And that's something that happens with, I think, most projects. Whether you're doing client work or you work for just a company that puts out a product and you're doing a new release, I think that's just something that happens to everybody. And it's not easy. And I think what people never tell you is it's okay to be kind of bummed out once in a while.
Oh, it's totally okay to be bummed out once in a while. So I used to be really hard on myself. I'm a bit of a workaholic, and I always felt like when I was not being productive that I kind of said before, I was letting the team down or letting people down, and I didn't realize that mentally, you know, your mental strength is just like a muscle, and you're gonna get tired, and you need to relax it every now and then. So I would go to work, and I would work all day, and I would come home, and I would still think about dev things. I would think about things that I could improve upon or things that I needed to learn, and it amounts to essentially just weeks on end without a break.
And I think both of us are kind of like that. We enjoy that sometimes, that constant drive to get stuff done. And that's awesome. That's cool. But it's not mandatory. If you try to do that all the time, even when you're not feeling it, you're just going to make yourself sad and make yourself even more burnt out. And next week is going to be even worse. If instead you say, okay, I'm not feeling this right now. I'm not being productive by spending 10 more hours on this thing today. I need to just step back, you know, play a video game or have a drink or whatever that thing is for you that just helps you relax. Doing that is going to help you be so much more productive. The gains from doing something else will really, really make you accomplish a lot more in the long run.
It's definitely true. And I think it's important to learn what works for you, because I know that different things work for different people. For me, I learned that jumping into the cold ocean makes me feel like I'm waking up out of a sleep, like a mental fog or something. Or for me, it tends for me to be more physically based. So I will go in my garage and I will do my workout routine extra hard. And then by the end, I feel totally wasted and like my body is just dead. But I feel mentally clear every single time.
Sometimes you just have to reset yourself. And it's fine. It's fine that you can't be on 24/7, 365. Everybody, or at least a lot of people in this industry, wants to be on all the time, constantly. And it's admirable in a way, but it's not healthy. You have to give yourself a break sometimes, and you have to be okay with that.
Well, for me, I think when I was learning more, I would see people on all the time. And so I felt like I needed to be like that to get to where they were. In a lot of ways, that did more harm, because then I'm not resetting myself. I'm not refreshing myself. That means my work suffers too, you know? So for me, it was looking around at people that are very productive somehow, people like Drew Wilson, and like, he does great work, you know, but I don't understand how he does as much as he does. It's pretty wild. But essentially what I did was I learned to not pay attention to those warning signs, those feelings of being burnt out, and just try to push through them anyway. And since then, you know, I think it's been a few years after working at Octopus, I think since then I've learned to definitely not do that and actually pay attention to those signs and do something about it.
So I think that's an awesome point. When you're seeing all these people who are very prolific and who are well known in the community, you have people like Drew Wilson, you have in the Node community for a really long time, there was TJ Holowaychuk, who just constantly was releasing new libraries that were extraordinarily popular. And as someone who's learning, that's really hard to look at and say, well, I don't even really know HTML yet. That can be super depressing.
It can be very incredibly intimidating, incredibly intimidating. You know, my case, when I would see stuff like that, I would think that I would have to stay up later. I would have to work harder. And sometimes I would even get down on myself, like, why can't I learn as fast? Or why can't I understand these concepts as thoroughly as these people seem to?
When you're being negative about learning, that actually prevents you from learning. It not only does it make you feel bad, but it also makes it harder for you to learn. Instead of saying, oh, look at how great these people are, and look at, maybe I need to just spend more time on it and force myself to work a little bit harder. Instead, just take it one step at a time. Everybody learns at a different pace. Everybody picks things up in a different way. And that's totally okay. Anybody can get into programming. I have said this for a very long time, and I will continue to say it, because I'm not a great programmer by nature. I have to work really hard to learn programming things and be good at it. It's something that I've been writing code for 16 years, and it's something that I still improve on every day. And that's fine. Some people can pick it up in a year and be great. Some people, it takes a long time. Some people, it takes a lifetime. That doesn't mean that pushing yourself beyond what your body and mind can handle is going to make anything better.
Right. I think that's one of the things that actually drew me to programming in the first place, was that it's something that's a journey. I call it the journey of a lifetime, right? It's really similar to me to music. So you're never going to master your instrument. There's always going to be some new technique or some way that you can improve your craft. And as a guitar player, I've been playing for 13 years now, and I'm still learning new stuff every day. I'm still looking at the same diagrams that I have and pulling new information out of it.
I think it's kind of similar to, what is it people say? Even Bono has somebody he has to make happy. Like, you're never going to be the best in the world. You're never going to be the very best like no one ever was. And that can be tough to accept, but it's totally okay. It's totally okay to not be the best. It's totally okay to get a little bit bummed out sometimes. But the important thing is that you keep trying and you keep learning.
Yeah, and that's what's so important, is that you just don't give up. Again, in my case, I use guitar a lot just because that's something that I know, but I had to not give up when it was difficult. I mean, I messaged you last week, I think it was, on Slack, and I said, man, getting good at guitar is really hard. And you said, getting good at anything is difficult. It's just really important to combat that discouragement and just keep pushing on it. And which is even, you know, which is kind of funny, because earlier we were talking about being burnt out and not pushing too hard. So there's like two sides to the coin, you know. If you're getting burnt out, take a little break. But if you're just facing discouragement of, can I wrap my head around this, or am I able to get this? You just need to push a little bit harder. You're right on the edge of that, of getting that concept.
Yeah, and programming specifically has a couple things that I think are unique to it compared to other disciplines like music or anything else, really. One of those, especially in the last couple of years, is just the absolute wealth of tools that are available. There are so many tools. There's Les and SCSS and BEMS and utility classes. Those are just for CSS. One programming language, one relatively simple programming language out of all of the tools and programming languages that exist in the computer world, thousands and thousands and thousands of tools are just, they're everywhere. And that can be so scary when you look at that. And it's like, well, I need to know these 20 things in order to be a real developer. That's not true. You can make really cool stuff if you just know one thing. Getting to the point where you know a thing is a huge accomplishment in itself. You don't need to learn every tool.
You know, what's interesting about that is that I was reading, I think it may have been a blog post. Anyway, Drew Rosen was talking about that. And people were asking him, why aren't you using Rails, or why aren't you using this or this new technology? And he says, well, because I'm really productive in what I do know. I have a PHP setup that I use. I have a JavaScript setup that I use, and I know them. And that's how he's able to be so productive, or as productive as he is, because he really understands and knows the tools that he uses. He's not constantly looking to grab, like, pull something brand new in, you know, just because it's popular. He understands his tools in and out.
And it's fun to look at new tools. Everybody loves looking at new tools. But especially when you're starting out, don't worry about knowing everything. You're never going to know everything. Nobody knows everything. And you shouldn't. If you knew everything, you would probably just be overwhelmed with choice, because you would have so many options for doing anything that it would be impossible to pick one. The best way to look at it is to say, okay, I have a goal. I want to make a personal website for myself. And this is how I started out personally, but there's a million different paths to doing this. But you just look at that. You have that goal. I want to make a personal website. And then you say, okay, what are the minimum things that I need to know to do that? For me, and this is back in, you know, 2001 or 2002, so my tool sets were a little bit more limited at the time. But I said, okay, I need to know HTML and I need to know CSS. And that was enough. That was enough. I didn't say, oh, well, I got to learn about BEMS and I got to learn SCSS. And of course, to do that, I'm going to need Grunt, which means that I need to figure out a little bit of Node so I can have NPM installed. No, I need to know CSS. And guess what? Knowing CSS made it really easy for me to learn SCSS later on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's so difficult when you're like, what, for example, like we're doing some volunteer work for an organization close to us, and we're trying to figure out how do we introduce these people into this dev world. And we're thinking, yeah, let's just HTML and CSS. But then you're thinking, well, we have to get them into Grunt or Git first, right? And to get them into the Git, we have to introduce them into maybe file organization and maybe the terminal, you know, which is another huge thing for someone that's never used it before. It just builds up into a giant snowball.
Yeah. When you look at learning computers, I think that's a big one. It's just don't be intimidated by how many things there are to learn, because you don't need to know all of them. And the skills are very portable. Like I said, knowing CSS really well made it almost instant for me to learn SCSS. Knowing JavaScript really well made it very quick for me to learn CoffeeScript. Knowing any of these tools is going to make it easier to learn other tools. I mean, knowing JavaScript made it easier for me to learn Ruby. And those are two very syntactically different languages. All of the programming skills, all the basic programming skills are extremely portable. So if you're just getting started, don't worry about knowing all the latest and greatest things. Learn the most basic version and get kind of good at that, and then expand from there. You'll know when you need something new. Back to what you were saying about Drew Wilson and knowing the tools that he works with really well. You actually linked me to Jonathan Cottrell's awesome article on blacksmiths and cobblers and how their professions relate to programming. And I think it's a very similar thing. There are awesome ways to do metalworking, but if you look at a blacksmith today, and of course there are less blacksmiths today than there were at one point, but they still use the same tools that they used hundreds of years ago because they know those tools. They are intimately familiar with those tools. And that's, we can take lessons from that. Obviously, our tools change more than every few hundred years. But if you find a great tool and you're good with it and it works for you and you can get stuff done and make cool things, man, that's something that you should really treasure and think about before you just move on to something else.
Yeah. And not only that, you will also come out with a better product in the end because you really know the tools that you're using to make the product. I feel like people that are constantly hopping around to the latest technology never, I mean, they might progress in the idea that they're learning new concepts and how to use those concepts to build applications, but it's hard to really create a quality product unless you actually understand the tools that you're using.
And I think that translates to every discipline, like designers even. If you're super good at Photoshop or Illustrator, you're probably going to make a better end file in Photoshop or Illustrator than you will if you switch to Sketch. Just because Sketch is cool and new doesn't mean that you should switch to it right now. If you have deadlines and you're super good in Photoshop, then use Photoshop. Use it for now. That's fine. You know, maybe at some point you will want to switch. And that's great. There's no problem with that. But there's also no problem with sticking with a tool that you're really good with.
So one thing I see happening a lot now is all of these new frameworks coming out, there's always people championing these frameworks or these tools, and they're talking about how you should use it, how it's going to make your life better. And I hang out in a few different Slack chats that have quite a few people that are learning how to program in it, and they're always talking about this new tool. Should I be learning this? Should I be learning that? Why? Or should I be using this? But also, I've seen people ask questions, and I've seen these people that are relatively new to the world saying, well, you should be using this tool or you should be using that tool. So they're essentially taking what somebody that has an intimate knowledge about something is saying, and they're just kind of spouting it out. So you have this really huge effect of, oh, I apparently have to be using this tool, and if I'm not using this tool, then I'm not doing any work that's worthwhile. And I think that that's something that's really difficult to combat, especially if you don't know any better to see around that or see through that. It is difficult because then you feel like you're doing something wrong if you're not going that route, you know?
Yeah, there is, or at least historically has been, a bit of a problem with elitism in the industry. Like, people used to look down on other people for writing JavaScript or making websites versus native apps. Like, that was a thing, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's like, oh, you're just a web developer. That was a thing. And today, even, you get that a lot with, oh, like, well, I make this kind of thing and you make that kind of thing. And, well, so obviously this thing that I do is harder. And that's fine. A thing can be harder than another thing. But it also kind of is really harmful to our community. It doesn't help anyone for you to say, oh, look at how great the thing I write in assembly. Like, that's not helping anyone. And instead, what we've seen over the last, I don't know, year-ish, 6 months to a year, I think, is a lot of these Slacks are popping up where people actually go there. People who are really experienced programmers go there in order to help people learn. if you're new to learning, don't be afraid to ask questions. There are so many people who want to help you. There are so many people who go to places just to help other people learn, which is awesome. And that can be such a huge resource. Nobody thinks you're dumb for asking these questions. Nobody thinks that you should know better, because you shouldn't. You're where you're at, and that's okay. And everybody started out not knowing anything about programming once. I mean, even Steve Wozniak, he wasn't born knowing how to assemble, how to create these awesome computers. He was just a guy. And he worked that a lot, and he practiced, and he went to computer groups and asked questions. And now we have Slacks, which are kind of like a modern version of the user group.
Yeah. Modern version of the homebrew computer clubs.
Exactly. And we can all just sit in front of our fancy unibody computers and talk to each other, and you should use that. That's such a massive, massive benefit. So don't be afraid of that. There has been a lot of elitism in this industry in the past, but these days, the people who are elitist about this are so massively outnumbered by the people who really want to help.
Yeah, that's very true. What really kind of sucks about it is that the people that are elitist about it are the ones that are doing the most talking. The people that are wanting to help people are busy helping people. They're not taking a Twitter to start some crusade for something. You know, they're actually helping people. Like you said, Paul, I think it's very important just to let people know, hey, there's so many people out there that are wanting to help, that are wanting to lend a hand. For me, I love helping people because that's how I learned. I bothered you on Skype for a year, you know? I asked questions on Twitter. I messaged people on Twitter all the time asking questions. And, you know, through people being kind to me and answering questions, I've been able to get to where I am now. So, I mean, if anybody out there has trouble finding someone to ask, ask one of us. We'll never hesitate to answer.
And I think most people in the spec community feel the same way. And there's so many people in the Slack and on Twitter and in other Slacks as well that are just so ready and willing to help. So if you're trying to get into programming, don't let the massive proliferation of tools discourage you. And don't let being scared of not knowing enough, don't let that intimidate you either. Just start learning, start doing it, and you're going to pick stuff up, and eventually you're going to be an okay programmer.
And if you're looking for somewhere to start, I read a tweet recently that Jonathan Cottrell tweeted, and I can find the source for this, but the tweet basically said, if you're wanting to get into web development and you're looking for a place to start, start with JavaScript, because almost certainly there will be a use for you. But just by knowing JavaScript, the number of jobs out there, and how, you know, the way of the development world is going, JavaScript is everywhere. So if you're looking for someone to start, pick JavaScript.
Yeah, it's never going to be not useful, at least not for a very long time. You can, I mean, use JavaScript on web pages, use JavaScript on the back end for a lot of things. There's plenty of times when you want to use JavaScript.
JavaScript API for the Apple TV coming out. You can use JavaScript on native devices. You can do anything with it. It's pretty insane.
It might not be the best tool for any given job, but it almost certainly can accomplish any given job, which is pretty impressive to say about a programming language.
Also, something that I would like to interject, and maybe this might be a little embarrassing for me, but for a long time, I had trouble reading documentation and understanding documentation. And for some reason, I would read JavaScript docs, I would read docs for what I was trying to work on, and I wouldn't grasp what the documentation was saying. That was a really pivotal thing to learn, was actually how to read documentation and understand it and use it.
Reading the docs can be very helpful, and practicing, because reading docs is actually a skill in itself. Like you're saying, at first that was difficult for you. I think that's the case for a lot of people. It's not always easy to read and understand documentation. But another thing that can be very helpful, once you have a basic understanding of any given programming language, is to read other people's, not just their documentation, but also read their code. Read the actual code that the documentation is referring to, because that will cover so many more things. The code is always the source of truth. Something can be undocumented. Something could be documented incorrectly. Something could be outdated in the documentation.
I think an example you gave me was, if you were looking for a place to start, look for anything that has annotated source, like Backbone.
That's such a great way to learn, because you have not only the code there, but also the explanation of exactly what that code is supposed to do in plain English.
If you're unfamiliar with annotated source, it's literally the comments in line with the source code. This is what, basically, it breaks down each method and explains what it's doing, but also why it's doing it there.
And I think that's one of the things that really drew me to Backbone so many years ago. It seemed like it was designed for humans instead of designed for computers, which is an important consideration when you're making software.
So I want to circle back a little bit to something you mentioned, Paul, and that was reading the source code being very important. And that was something that I didn't really do when I was learning how to program. I read a lot of Stack Overflow answers, and I read a lot of Skype answers from you and some other people and some Twitter answers, but I didn't actually read the code. I mainly grabbed jQuery plugins and just popped them into a big libs.js file. But I would never actually go into the code and read the source. And so if there was an issue, I wouldn't know how to fix it, or it would take me an extremely long time to fix it because I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. And I think that once I actually started looking at the source of these plugins that I was using, you know, obviously, number one, I learned how to solve that problem that the plugin was doing, or, you know, solve the problem the plugin was solving. And number two, I learned how to actually debug other people's code, you know, how to figure out where a problem was coming from. And I think those are two really important skills to have.
Today's episode of Does Not Compute was brought to you by Hired. If you're a designer or an engineer looking for a new job, Hired should definitely be on your radar. They make it easy to find a great new job in a wide variety of awesome cities. So go to hired.com/doesnotcompute, and they'll give you a $4,000 bonus when you find your new job through them. Our thanks again to Hired, and thanks to you for listening. We really appreciate the support. We'd love to hear from you in the Spec Slack or on Twitter at DNCcast. If you really enjoyed today's episode, we'd be incredibly grateful for a rating or review in iTunes. It's a fantastic way to help support the show.